Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stuff that's gone on in tech and all the fun and all the happenings that there have been in the last week. And we've staved off a guest meltdown because I've got me stalwart Jeff and Righty here, and Super Sub has come off the bench. Muller, he is here as well too, in his brand new England shirt, to bolster the numbers. How are we all doing, fellas?
We're right, mate.
Awesome.
This is all free for all, isn't it?
Guys, how well, can I even only, not be having a great time?
It's only four of us. How have you been, Jeff? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
What's happened?
And I love how much better you sound to me now.
Yeah,
you've always
so
sounded great. We sound even better today.
This is the first big show using the Discord app, and it's luscious.
It, like, luscious. That's exactly what it
luscious.
Is.
Luscious.
Also, like Barry White.
No, because he wasn't born in Birmingham.
Oh.
No, it's yeah. it is the video's good. We've got nearly got lip sync with most people if they've got a decent bandwidth. And the audio is most excellent. So I can't complain at all about the swap to Discord. Thank you, Skype, for pushing out yet another shit version, because it forced us to upgrade and get rid of you.
Goodbye, kindergarten Skype.
The last Skype upgrade, he's putting it in the bin.
Oh.
Been done with it. It's gone.
Rubbish.
Gone. Muller boy, how you doing, man?
I'm fine, thank you.
And now you've been taking exercise this week, you say?
Oh, yeah. I've done a few miles walking, and I've got a new app that I'm using. It encourages you 10 minutes brisk walking a day, and you get a tick in the box. And it's free if anyone wants it.
Is it going to be a cool thing?
No, it's Active 10. It was on the BBC the other day. It's a BBC app.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's a good little app, actually. Download it. So make Michael Mosley app. So it's all right. It's not too strenuous to do.
Excellent. Okay, I'll have a go at that, because Sharon and I are saying we should go out for a walk after dinner, because the thing is, I come home from work and it's just like, sit down, have dinner, kids go off to bed or something, and then we're just sitting there watching, slobbing out, watching a movie. And a cup of tea or something like that. And I just sort of get out and get the heart pumping after dinner, get the digestion working, better off. So I think we're going to do that. And Righty Boy, last but by no means least, sorry, mate, if you came in for a bit of stick on the on last week's show.
Do you know what? I take it all back because of the post art on that.
How good was that artwork, mate?
Matthew. That is BTN classic. That's probably the best ever. And I'll take that.
Where?
Was it stop shagging my turkeys, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, he stopped shagging my turkeys.
The thing is, really, my wife was like, you didn't tell the Bird and Matthew story, did you?
Yep. Still
yeah. I remember it as clear as day. I really do. He's like, oh, you get on me, Lauren.
Or I do be shooting you.
I do be shooting you. Or stick a turkey up your ass. Want to.
Bootful as you are.
Beautiful.
She showed him a clean pair of plump cheeks and then ran off.
Oh, this is going to be wrong. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not that one.
We've only got four stories to get through, so it shouldn't take us that long then. So who fancies first dibs on the story of the week? Who reckons they've got the big shiz that went on that's really... Oh,
boom,
Jeffrey G. God, then, mate. Talk us through it. Elon, this isn't a flamethrower thing, is it?
No, it's not.
That was a prank, right? Let's talk about that after.
I kind of hope so, and at the same time, kind of not. The deal is, my big thing out of this story is Elon Musk is saying he wants to die on Mars.
Well, I think there's quite a few people probably agree with him.
Well, there you go. But as I was kind of scanning through this article, and I saw that, and I was thinking, okay, so either he's like the greatest showman scam artist of our generation.
Thank you.
Or he seriously thinks he's going to be able to establish a viable human colony on Mars in our lifetime and actually be living there himself.
How old is he?
And so that's what I'm trying to figure
that's
out.
That's a good question. Is Elon Musk
just scamming us, or is he really on track to get us to Mars where he can die?
Well, no. So that's one of those stupidly obvious things that Muller said there, which is we said, okay, in his lifetime he's going to get there, and we haven't checked how old he is. If he's 56, then I'm excited.
He's 46, born 28th of June, 1971.
I'm quite excited now. I might go walking for a bit further because I want to get on a ship to Mars.
Well, why would you want to do that?
Kidding.
If you want to go to a barren wasteland with like zero life, come to Norwich.
No, that was you missed, Writer. You missed your chance there because that was a good opportunity to put a bit of a dig in at Suffolk.
Because I just beat you to it. I think if I make the digs myself, I feel less Suffolk. Embarrassed.
It do be it, if you're on barren wasteland, go to Suffolk.
Yeah, then he's digging at my family then.
He made $10 million in 4 days selling promotional flamethrowers this week.
What was that about? I missed that. He's made a
promotional flamethrower. Now, whether it actually physically works or not, I don't know, because I've seen a few people talking about the fact that it's just false news, but.
Well, the tank it has is pretty small. You're not going to get much of a flame out of that, or for very long.
Real or not, here's the thing. Real or not, it is not illegal to own a flamethrower, providing the flame thrown is less than 10 feet in the US. And I find that astounding. The public,
do I live in like the weirdest country on the planet or what?
Dude, that's just... forget about whether Elon's flamethrower is real or not. In the statutes, you have the legal right to a flamethrower as long as it doesn't go longer than 10 feet. That's maniacal.
Yeah. Actually, how much does this flamethrower cost? Because I can get a
$400.
WD-40 and a match, and you've got a perfectly good flamethrower.
But
it's not going to look as sexy, and it doesn't come with a complimentary fire extinguisher. Elon's does.
It's saying sold out on the money... story, money.cnn.com, as Muller's posted there, so maybe it was real. I don't know.
But it looks real.
It's appalling that you have laws that allow flamethrowers in public possession. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
I agree. It's absolutely insane. And it's crazy that someone would think, okay, how about if I sell a buttload of flamethrowers to raise money to help fund my grand plan of going to Mars.
I bet the income from the flamethrowers though is infinitesimal from the commission on PayPal or something like that. Or these other sources of income. If he still even gets a commission from PayPal.
So you would totally go for a trip to Mars.
That was the point that we came back with writing, you saying about, oh, why would you want to do that? There's lots of people go and live in Australia. And it's extremely hard to get. It's a long time.
Or Nebraska.
No. What I'm saying is there's lots of families that move apart when their kids grow up. You know, the kids go and do stuff and they're miles away and they stay away for 10 years or more sometimes and they just keep in touch through telecommunications and Skype. If my kids were settled and happy and they looked all right down here and it was an adventure of a lifetime for me and the missus and she was keen as well, I'd say... Come on, let's have a go.
What,
live our
Mars?
Live our life out on Mars, yeah.
One way trip.
As long as it's I don't want to say a comfortable living, but as long as it's an acceptable living, as in I get a comfy bed, I get clean running water, and I'm aware I'm at risk because I'm on another planet, and I'm aware that I'm at risk.
That sounds like an old people's home.
Yeah, exactly. If there's an old people's home on Mars, I wouldn't mind seeing my days out on it. I could live with that.
And you would probably live longer because of the lower gravity.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
They'd use them as Soylent Green, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and then they could just...
Well, eventually.
They could just use me as fertilizer outside to see if we can get anything growing. There we go. All right.
I would go as vacation. And...
Well, not if it's one way.
It's only one way. You won't come back. You can't afford to.
Well, that's a hell of a long vacation.
You can just imagine. You got Rod and Mary lying on sun lounges in a fake place on Mars. And Mary goes, oh, this is a great holiday, Rod. This would be superb. She said, we'll have to get the kids to come out sometime. She said, I'm going to really miss this place when we go back. And he goes, well, I got something to tell you, Mary.
Oh my God.
That's one way.
Can you imagine getting there and hearing someone say, what do you mean there's not a return flight?
Oh, I left the oven on.
Yeah. You'll have to get Alexa up. And,
yeah. I've got to see Southern Gas find me here. That'll be great. Yeah. Well, piss off. Send a bailiff. See if I care. Saranac in the chat room says, actually, Ewan, I'm with you there. I don't want to go with you, Saranac. I want to go with my wife.
Right, you'll go with Jeff.
I'll go wherever Jeff goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna have a low gravity party.
Yep. I've always wanted to enter a black hole.
Oh. Yeah. Don't we all?
Would it be easy to go to the moon there? Because that moon will have to have somewhere first. Because aren't they on about using the moon as a staging post for Mars?
Well, it's equally inhospitable, isn't it? So it's 6-1, and it's the same gravity because it's 1/6 the size.
But you'll be able to go back.
You could come back.
Yeah, because there'll be like little planes and they'll fly off because they go like to and from Earth. Because if they're bringing people to go to Mars, then they don't have to go back empty, do they? And they're making the fuel on the moon. That's the plan, to turn all that, because they've found a load of water, haven't they? And
well, they've got hydrogen 3 up there, which is a massive source of energy.
Yeah.
If they can refine it. They always said that if they could fill the shuttle bay with hydrogen 3, that hydrogen 3 would power North America for a year.
Those moon Nazis, though, got hold of it, so you would get it.
Well, the Japanese and the Chinese are seriously thinking about trying to mine for hydrogen through it there.
Well, there was a program on TV the other day about colonising the moon. About you got the water for the oxygen and the hydrogen. You've got the there's glass in the all around you, so they can make everything. They can literally just set up a factory up there, and you can just basically make yourself a place to live.
It's the diameter of the US, of the continental US.
You can get supplies there regularly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As long as you've got a service station there, like Thurrock or something, you know, got like M&S and a Burger King, you'd be fine.
Well, no, I mean, you've got to remember there's a Starbucks on the moon already.
Yeah. They still got my name wrong, bastard.
Magic Man has put on this in the Slack room. Perhaps Sharon might prefer you that you actually went with Saranac, Ewan.
I think we should start like a Kickstarter.
Yeah, no. See, now, so Saranac saying if I went there at 75, the harm with the rads might do me in like 5 to 10 years. But actually, have you seen the report on the animals that live inside the exclusion zone for Pripyat, for Chernobyl?
No.
So, because it's all overgrown, and there's loads of wildlife have gone in, and they're actually finding out that the wildlife that they're catching now have got anti-cancerous behaviours. So they think that actually they used to think that there was a zero point for radiation. So you only ever got ill from having radiation, but what they're seeing is that actually up to 100 millisieverts a year, you actually get a benefit from the radiation. So actually, the radiation that you get on the moon may actually be helpful to you, might elongate your life.
You won't need a torch.
You wouldn't get that radiation hardly at all, because whatever establishment we put on the moon, it's going to be so heavily shielded.
Yeah, and I just want to come back, because Saranac put another thing. He said, if so, then you and me are buggered. Look, I'm just going for the trip. Nothing more, mate. There is nothing else on offer, dude, okay? Let's just be clear. I might hold hands, but that's where it ends.
No, I saw that and laughed. I went, that's not the way you repopulate Saranac. Don't work. Tried it.
It's not happening, mate. Just... Sorry to shatter your ball, but...
Is that how Martians are made?
Oh, man. That's where tardigrades come from. Saranac is orbiting, orbiting Uranus. No, he's nowhere near my anus.
well, then there's someone else that's trying to figure out who this guy is right behind him.
He can dance around that issue all he likes, mate. It's, it's not happening.
He's trying to enter Saturn's rings.
And he's not going near the rim of my crater either, though.
I'm sorry, the rim of my crater is so tight.
Oh, prick. I think you have to
But what about your launch pad, Ewan? Is that off limits?
I polish my own rocket, thank you very much.
He's going to drop his payload.
God. Oh, there's no need to get guttural.
I can see this one having one of those tags.
What's the story again?
Elon wants to die on Mars.
I showed up with a legit science and astronomy story. I'm not the one that took it down sex path.
For a change.
I know, that's really weird. That's why I'm pointing it out. How is it that I'm not the person that took us there?
On re-entry. Well done, Big Cat.
And Saranac, to answer your question, drinking whiskey in a microgravity does not get you drunk quicker.
It's the oxygen.
It's actually that oxygen level that you would have that plays into that.
So you can't make an excuse for what you just said about you.
I remember seeing a question on, you know, like they do the NASA question and answer things, and periodically Commander Hadfield does a question and answer thing when people send him questions. And someone said, is there any alcohol on the space station? And he went into this nice, he went over about two or three tweets where he did this kind of answer about, well, that would be a bad thing because, you know, we're in a very dangerous environment and alcohol doesn't, well, it's flammable and it messes with your senses and you really don't want to do that in case there's an emergency. And it was just like, I was just sitting there thinking, just write, no. Hell no. Hell no. Not doing it. Because that would have sufficed. You're mad. I'm doing 17,500 miles an hour in something that comes apart. And it's a bit of tinfoil to start with. And you want me to be pissed up?
I think if it goes wrong, I'd want to be pissed up.
One of the Apollo astronauts, and I believe it was Buzz Aldrin, smuggled wine to the moon.
No.
And had a glass of wine. It you know, it was a very small amount of wine, but he smuggled wine to the moon and drank wine there.
That's a good story. Is it true? Has it been verified by Buzz?
It's whichever astronaut did it, and I think it was Buzz, said, yes, this is something I did.
Because I mean, that was the thing, the story of Gus Grissom, because he was, he basically took, inside his suit, he took all the souvenirs he could find at NASA that would fit inside his suit and took them with it on his orbit. And then when he came back, and there was, in the film, there was it's probably made up, but there was a film about him chasing after these things after they came out of his suit when Liberty Bell blew open the hatch and it started to fill with water. He was more worried about getting the souvenirs because he was going to sell them for a fortune. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's I can believe that was probably a great idea.
Yeah. So. See, that's capitalism in action right there.
Yeah, most definitely.
Will Siri be...
Gus Grissom, not Buzz Aldrin.
Will Siri be the computer interface, like, you know, like HAL 9000, but friggin' Siri. Not. Siri, open the pod bay doors. I don't know what you mean.
So if that's
gives me the, it gives me the
works.
Cinema times for the My View in Basingstoke. I want it to perform a critical function.
No, so imagine saying, "Yo Siri, get me directions to Mars." 6 months later, you're standing on the surface of this planet, and Khan is yelling at you, "This is CD Alpha 5." That's probably how it would play out.
Probably. Why's everyone gone quiet?
Oh, Mike, you might put the limiter on.
All right. Okay. And I wasn't referring to your Basingstoke mistake earlier on, that wench, so it wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Don't flatter yourself.
Come to his brain, though, didn't it?
No. Do I want Elon to go? Yes, feel free. Do I want to go? I see that. I do see that. And the thing is, I mean, you've got to look at, you know, all things could happen in my lifetime. Let's say I lost my wife and my kids were happy and healthy and grown up. And I was just like, you know, kids, I just want to do this. Let's have a really nice party. And then I'm off and it's been lovely. But I'll still see you on Skype. Well, no, I won't, because it won't be working properly. I'll see you on video messages that will pedal backwards and forwards in audio messages via connection. So, okay.
If you get a mile before you come to Norwich, I'm going to come after you. Ranking.
I've been to Norwich. That's why I don't come back. I spent 3 weeks of my life delivering stuff at Duke Street in Norwich.
Oh.
At the electricity headquarters there. Oh. Bennett.
Yeah, okay. I'll let you off.
Batwinch would be fine going into space, but she'd need a cat. So, Drew, Jesus, man. She doesn't love you after all.
Oh, there's so many Missy Slocum things you could say to them.
Yes, I'm taking my pussy to Mars. That's a better show title. Elon's taking his pussy to Mars. I don't know. Am I the only person out of the three of us, four of us, that wants to go? Or could see a reason why I would go?
Never.
I think it would be absolutely fascinating to go.
Be awesome.
And but I know that I wouldn't go because Angela would have no interest in that whatsoever, and I wouldn't want to go without her.
Oh, that's sweet. Did she know you said that?
No. She doesn't watch the show and wonders why anyone else would.
I'm with her on that one.
I think so.
Blame her.
Okay, so let's say that something happened, sadly, and you were left on your own. Would you want to go then?
Yeah, I would totally go.
If you boys are up for it, you know.
I think we've got a problem.
Dude, it's not like a piss up in Prague.
Oh, come on.
It's, well, it would be, bloody I suppose. Good. Oh, no, hang on, there's a thought. Now, no one's thought of this, because we've done the alcohol thing in space type stuff and microgravity, but... What if they don't allow alcohol on Mars? Are we going?
We'll have to make it ourselves.
Nope.
You make it yourself.
What out of? Mars yeast. I mean,
there's things you can make it from.
Have you seen the hops on Mars?
Oh, Matt Damon left a load of potatoes up there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, so Pop Gene.
Gene?
Yeah.
That's like vodka without the flavour.
Magic Man says, if I go, can I bequeath my camera gear to him? Bastard. Batwench says, what happens in space stays in space. There's the title.
Looking at Elon's story, though, I don't think spacesuits are going to fit you and me. They're quite slim.
I'll take a needle and cotton. I can splice a few together.
I think we'd need more than... We'd probably have to have about three of them, I think.
I'd be fine. Be all right. I can do it. Oh, good story, Jeff. We're all going then. That's it, lads, weekend.
Yep.
It's like a weekend skiing trip in Poland, isn't it?
Party people.
Good story. Who's got the next one then? Who's flying in with something? Righty boy, he's in the YouTube policy creator. On stricter policies to punish creators who do significant harm to the reputation in the community.
Well, yeah, it just seems that we can't ever have anything nice anymore. We used to have Facebook, that used to be nice. And we had Twitter, that used to be nice. And now YouTube, which I'm sure the majority of us use, is nice. Well, it used to be nice. But now it's just not another one of those internet cesspools now, isn't it? You can go on about how the comments have been over the years.
As soon as PewDiePie became a thing.
Well, exactly, and him and all his mates. But it's just a thing that they're now coming out and they're saying, oh, well, we're going to punish people who put dodgy videos on our platform. And it's the same with Twitter with the harassment thing and the trolling thing. Is they wait for a critical mass, and they've made their money. And then they say, we're going to do something about it. So obviously it all kicked off at the end of last year where that blonde idiot whose name I won't even talk about filmed a dead body in a forest. And it's You see it on Facebook, you see it on everywhere, and I don't go on Facebook that often anymore, and I'm sure a lot of us don't really. It's all this shock value stuff to try and make money, and that's where YouTube's business model is now. Where it used to be unique videos that you'd go and watch, or it'd be some nostalgic clip of some old TV show you used to watch, and that used to be lots of fun, but it's all kind of, you know, I'll pretend to my friends I'm dead, or, you know, going to film some really dodgy shit somewhere. And Facebook, and sorry, and YouTube finally came out, and they did a thing a couple of weeks ago where they said, oh, you've got to have 1,000 subscribers and this many views and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Otherwise, you can't monetize.
Yeah, which doesn't hurt the big people who they're, you know, who they're initially targeting. They're saying, okay, to stop hate speech and to stop dodgy videos, you've got to have these are the rules that you've got to have. And but if you're a startup and all this sort of thing, and if you're a hate speech person, or you're putting dodgy stuff online, then yeah, you don't deserve to make money out of it. But it doesn't hurt the people who are just putting, you know, like Jeff said, the PewDiePie's has done some really dodgy stuff on YouTube and all that sort of thing. But it's just like we can't have anything nice anymore, because it all just, maybe it's a generational thing, because these are all young people. I'm not, you know, my daughter watches YouTube. I'm sure you and your kids watch YouTube. It's probably the...
Well, Bryony's obsessed with it.
But it's probably the main TV channel. Bryony's
obsessed with watching the Dobre brothers, which bothers me that she's lecturing after 17-year-old boys at 8 years of age. and it also upsets, I mean, but the rest of it is life hacks and craft doors, the craft channels. So, Sophie, what's her name?
I don't mind all that.
The contortionist girl. She wants to be like her.
I'd be more worried, though, if it was a 17-year-old boy lecturing after an 8-year-old girl.
No, true. But, well, no, it doesn't, no, because...
At least she's being human. And she's a boy.
Okay, yeah, fair point. All right. Yeah, good. That's the second. No, it's not okay. What am I talking? No, it's not okay.
Don't start
being little.
Stick to the craft, girl. Stick to the craft.
But the trouble is, there's no originality anymore. There really isn't. It's just like, it's all shock value stuff. There's no... I used to watch some great animated shorts on YouTube, some really original content now, but it's all about pranking people, doing, and a lot of stuff is just people just doing nasty things to each other now. And I don't know if that's a reflection of YouTube or the world in general.
You say that, but Deepan says Nice doesn't get the clicks, and he's right there. It doesn't get the major clicks.
Well, it doesn't, and that's what YouTube promoted. You know, that's the point that they're coming out now and saying, but, you know, oh, we're going to stop this now. But they've built their fortunes and the fortunes of these people on this horrific content.
Once you get past what is clearly, obviously, the recommendation, because YouTube is putting the trending stuff up that everyone else is watching, the algorithm is pretty good at trying to work out the type of things that you want to watch. I find it incredibly good. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think once you've been a user for a while and it curates the content, but a lot of people are coming into this, you know, and a lot of young people are coming into this, you know, as new users. So they haven't curated the content that they want to see straight away. So it is YouTube recommended content. It may be something that's linked to, because obviously a lot of these YouTubers are kind of in cahoots with each other. So you watch one and you see a video for another one, and they may come across stuff that's a bit dodgy. And I'm having to keep an eye a bit on what my daughter's watching at the moment, because some of it, and because I don't have an account on things like the Apple TVs in the house, so it doesn't curate that content. Sometimes I just think that's just wrong. And I know it builds up on, you know, what you have watched in the past, so there'll be a lot of makeup videos and tech videos and RuPaul's Drag Race because the wife's watched it here. But YouTube has, it really started out as a really nice platform. And like you say, Nice doesn't get clicks, but that doesn't make it a nice place either. And it's taken them a hell of a long time to come out and say, we're going to do something about it now. And they're only talking about doing something about it. In the meantime, you know, these people get a slap on the wrist, but they're still making millions of dollars out of it. And I don't think it's the right place for them to be. I think if people want to go and see that, they should be on a separate platform where you either subscribe or pay to go and see those people. It shouldn't be on an open platform like YouTube where people can come across it easily, because
Yeah, but what you're talking about now is regulation, and that's one of the things that is a very fierce conversation at the moment over in the, in the States with net neutrality and the regulation of the internet. And you can't deny that things like TV channels, free-to-air TV channels, are regulated, and they are given very tight regulation because there is an awful lot of content that they shouldn't put out on a channel. And the internet hasn't really grasped that properly, and particularly things like YouTube and so on. There's an awful lot of stuff on YouTube which isn't nudity, but is stuff I still wouldn't want my son to watch at 14. It's suggestive. It's adult. It's got titles which are adult. There was one advertised. I can't remember what it was. Forgotten it. But there was one that I looked at today, and I was kind of like, I don't want Ellis to watch that.
Mm.
It was a guy going around the AVN award show, the AVN show, and it had come up. I can't remember what I'd searched, but I hadn't searched for anything that was pornographic, and it came up with this. And there wasn't a single boob on show. There wasn't any genitals on show, but it was flesh, a lot of it jiggling. And an awful lot of stuff taking place that was lewd and suggestive, and that I wouldn't have wanted him to see, but it didn't breach any guidelines whatsoever. But that would never have made it on before 9 o'clock on the TV. I can't remember what it was. I wasn't asking for a friend. No, I put something in. I can't remember what I was looking for, but it was something where Vegas came up, and I clicked on it, and then I clicked on another video, and it was Vegas, and then it came to the AVN thing. So. And I clicked on it because it was the AVN thing. I mean, the only reason that I ever wanted to go to CES was for AVN, and now they've stopped it. I'm not going. Simple as that. So I got no problem with that.
Maybe they should make them liable as publishers. So if they publish something that's iffy, then they should be punished as such.
But then you've got legal problems with the country of origin and who's going to be prosecuted for it and what rules apply in that country. And
most of the videos are English-speaking. In the Europe, USA, and UK, and we have pretty much the same laws. Yeah. Probably America's a little bit stronger than ours, and that sort of thing. So, I don't know.
So even though YouTube is saying that we're going to do something about it, we're basically saying there's probably not a lot they can do about it.
I don't think. Well, they'll hit them in the pocket. That's what they've got as a power, is to hit the YouTuber in the pocket, not to try and take any. There won't be a punitive action. They could strip a channel away. Okay, fair enough. But I think what they'll probably do is fine them. And if you look at someone who's doing 15 million a year, 12 to 15 million a year on YouTube, and he gets a $2 million fine, that hurts.
Hmm. He'll just take his account off him, that even more.
Yeah, no. And the thing that it is an invited palace, is it not? So if they want to take it away, there's no legal consequences. Taking away something that they legally own anyway.
Yeah. But I just thought it was interesting because it always, what I was thinking, it always takes a scandal that makes the mainstream media for these big companies to, so in our kind of tech sphere, you know, we know about this stuff all the time, but they only act when it kind of gets into the mainstream media where, you know, where your mum or your aunt asks about it, you know, where it becomes part of the public consciousness that these big companies decide to act. So when Twitter gets a bit dodgy or YouTube gets a bit dodgy, they try and get away with it for as long as they can to make eke as much profit out of it as they can. And then they're kind of like, we're the good guys, we're going to do something about it now.
Is it 2 billion videos a week are being, or 2 billion videos a day are being uploaded?
Yeah, it's stuff ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah. And
regardless.
But a lot of that is good value.
Same number.
Yeah, but a lot of that stuff is perfectly fine as well. If you looked at all the videos that you could possibly find on YouTube, I reckon you'd probably find about 98% to 99% of them are perfectly acceptable viewing.
But some of it is horrific, you know. Just doing a test today, and I don't know what the you know my daughter's conversations in the playground are, but all the killings from the Saw movies are on YouTube. And they're horrific. They're horrific things. They should not be on a public facing thing. They're talking about people making shocking videos, but one, they're piracy, and two, these things are just generally horrific things. And they've been doing this for years.
Over 18 YouTube only's with sign-ins.
Yeah, But
at least.
But they can get a sign in anyway. It's like saying Facebook, you have to be 13 to have a Facebook account. But how many people under 13 have a Facebook account? There's no way of controlling it.
Yeah.
I just think they're reacting too late to something that's been a problem for a long time, and I don't see how that at any point they can curb it.
Oh well, it happens. I mean, Serenix saying in the chat room, the other problem is how you rate something like Jacksepticeye, who's harmless but just swears.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it's my son's 14, and there isn't a swear word he doesn't know, and periodically use, and we tell him not to. But
how long has he been watching YouTube, though?
He hasn't got it from YouTube. He's got it from his mates at school. So
no, but he's been watching YouTube a lot longer than, he's been watching for years, say, as my daughter has.
Yeah, but I would have said that he probably got more of his understanding of swearing, and he got more of his understanding of sex from. And sexual innuendo and some of the stuff that he comes out with from school than he's ever got from.
True.
And it's Ellis has got a really wicked sense of humour when he wants to. He's really funny, and he's really dry as well, which is kind of cool. That's the kind of stuff that I like. And I can't fault him. He says some things that are inappropriate, but when you explain to him why they're inappropriate, he can do it. Can he gets it. So.
Fair enough. I'd be interested to see what they, obviously now that they could do something, it'd be interested to see what they do in the end. So.
Yeah. Do-do.
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 Do-do-do.
Do-do. Do-do-do. Do-do-do. Ewan could put an age thing on stuff like they do on films. Yeah, but again, who's going to police that? You've got Etsy, haven't you, for video stuff and that kind of stuff, and then you've got... And then you've got whatever the MPAA put on it versus whatever the BCCF put on it in the UK, and those differ wildly.
Mm. So you have to sign in for YouTube to watch certain things, but as soon as you sign up for a Gmail account, which nearly everyone can do, you get a YouTube login.
Mm.
So if you can release videos they can buy or watch on certain services, you can't police it. So it'll carry on going on.
Yeah, good point. I think what they intend to do is probably hit them in the pocket or start deleting their videos so they can't get views off them.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, just take them off the search. They can keep them, can't they? If they can't be searched.
Yeah, no. Well, they've got subscribers who already find them easily. But
yeah, exactly.
Just wipe all their subscribers and then stop them getting emails when stuff's released and...
I think another thing about YouTube is you read some of the comments underneath.
Oh, that poison.
Oh, never read comments. My God.
No, they're pointless.
You just wonder what some people are on. They're wicked.
I think some of the things that people type, though, they type just to provoke a reaction. They type it just because they can and get away with it. There was a one that was the Houston Christmas thing that I went to. The Daily Mail got in touch and said, could we use one of your pictures? And I'm kind of like, yeah, go for it. And someone said, oh, don't let the Hasty picture. I was like, if it gets one more person to help someone next year, then it's successful. And there's not going to be a negative effect from using it, but there might be a positive. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to control it. If they want it, they can have it.
Hmm.
Someone on the comments on that said, I do hope you're going to completely disinfect the station because I've got a train there tomorrow.
No.
But I don't believe that there's a sane human being who actually thinks that way, no matter who they are in society. I don't believe that. I really don't want to believe that that's a normal thought process in society. I think someone typed that because it was the most horrific thing they could think of typing and they could get away with typing.
And they wouldn't say it to your face either.
Yeah. They don't have to put their real name on it.
And that's a problem because people don't have that sense of... responsibility or a sense of consequences when you put a screen between them and the rest of the world, and they'll say horrible things.
But just hand on heart, who here has never watched a person who's got Tourette's going off on one and thinking sometimes, shocking. Just once in a while, I really wish I could say what the hell I thought. I've had a few expletives in it.
It's all sorts of Tourette's, though, isn't there? There's...
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, you know, you someone who's going off on a rant on Tourette's and they're all the expletives are flowing, they're clearly just, really getting it. And there's a bit, every single person has looked at that and gone, I wish I could do that. Really wish I could do that once in a while.
Yeah, could do, though. You could go on the underground, couldn't you, do that? They wouldn't know you're not Tourette's. You haven't got Tourette's.
Just... Yeah, I mean, you just take it to the microcosm. How many of you have got a present that you only get out when that relative comes round to see you? That goes on. It definitely goes on. I can tell you it went. I'm not going to say what it was, but there was a thing that we were given by a certain person who didn't give us any business very often, and it only came out when that person came round.
I do appreciate it, Ewan.
It's all right, mate. but because there's that what's the word I'm looking for? That model of restraint, that appropriate behaviour thing that trips in, that safety valve of when actually, you know, they what you'd really like to do is when they come out and go, look, I friggin' like, sorry, have it back. Give it to someone who wants shit, because I don't want that shit. And you'd love to be able to say something, but you just don't. You just keep quiet, go along, and just be polite. Thank you, Batwinch. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Some restraint, some moral restraint, and you just put up with it. It just comes out, and then, thanks very much. Yes, we've still got it. It's lovely, isn't it? We have it on every day. but you don't.
Well, at least we have a wholesome network with no innuendo, do we?
There is that restraining valve, isn't there, in all of the stuff that you do when it's associated with you and it's associated with your name and it's something that...
True.
And there is an innate politeness in people, but once in a while when no one's looking and no one can catch you, you're going to take a pee in a shop doorway. And that's all it is. I think it's nothing more than peeing in a shop doorway.
Oh, who's got off-road? Can't do it in a doorway.
Yeah.
Through the letterbox.
Oh my god.
Being through
so
the doorway.
Am I the only person here that has enough decorum to find a bush instead?
I just said I'd go off-road. That's right, what just, I meant.
Now hang on. When you go to Mars, where the hell are you going to find a bush?
Just find a rock.
You're out there with your helmet on. Oh, you can't get your willy out. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, yeah, but you can have a colostomy bag.
Yeah, but then we can, that's the... That's one of the beauties of a colostomy bag, is you at least you warm your leg up for a while.
Yeah, depends which one, because my departed father-in-law had one, and if you moved in the car...
Stank, yeah, the valve opens a little bit, yeah. Barry says, you're being stupid, there would be a potato plant there. Well remembered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you see. Yeah. You got it.
Better be a big one.
Catch up, Jeff. We've only got an hour. Muller, what's your story?
I'm posting it now. It's Google has taken acquisition of some of HTC's R&D division, i.e. the bit that makes the Pixel and the Pixel XL. So they're bringing all that in-house. So, we've all had... until Apple got famous, had HTC phones. I certainly had quite a few. They had enough to choose from, didn't they? They had about 80 different models. They had Nokias, Symbian, Windows. What was the old
Windows?
Windows mobile phones and all sorts. And they had every kind of phone you could think of. So this could be quite good for Google. They might actually... put out maybe some kind of Pixel that might actually be something different other than a black glass slab, or in their case, black on one side, white on the other.
Well, is this bad for the rest of the Android market, though? All those HTC people now part of Google?
Not all of them. No, the ones they bought are all in Taiwan. I've got to be careful. There's a video on that page. They brought in the ones that were working in Taipei. And they're going to be working on the Pixel. And they've got access to some of HTC's technology, from what I've read. There's a couple of stories. I've got another story.
Where's the value in this, though? Because I find 1.1 billion, it feels cheap. Because HTC have got a history of actually making some pretty good phones. They've done all right. They're not the horrific end of the Android market by any means. And the camera, they've got the camera technology that was used in the Pixel 1, haven't they?
Well, they make the Pixel. That's the whole point.
And so they own the patents on all of that stuff, which works really, really well. So it's a logical purchase for Google. I get that. So why aren't they worth more than $1.1 billion?
Well, they're not actually going to own any of the HTC patents, are they? They've kept them, but they've got access to them.
So in that case, then where's the value?
Because they've got 2,000 engineers.
Oh, they're just the engineers?
They've got the engineers, and they've got access to... you have to read it a bit, but they have got access to certain technologies, and they've got access to the HTC R&D. They're the biggest engineering outside the US mobile phone.
So let's not beat around the bush.
Basically, they just spent $1 billion on talent.
And a building and engineering.
No, they've just spent $1.1 billion on one part only of the manufacturer. That's it.
Yeah, they haven't got the whole lot. No.
They've only got one part of manufacturing.
Yeah. They haven't really got that, really. They've only got the talent, really.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, not that long ago, they bought Motorola, stripped the patents, and sold it on.
Yeah.
They did that to Motorola. So, and they didn't even keep the department that they sold to Lenovo. So I think they're there. It's a talent acquisition at this point with some access to the manufacturing. They've got the patents to do what they want to do. I think they're just utilizing that patent portfolio they've got now with that talent. Maybe they didn't have it within Google. HTC have been a struggling company. The phones haven't been that bad. I think the M8 was the last good phone they did, but it didn't go down very well. They thought by giving you a lower resolution camera, which they thought the software could do a good job on, it didn't sell very well. So they have been struggling. They also tried Windows phones as well, HTC, but they have struggled, and the only money they are getting is from Google to produce these Pixel phones and the Nexus phones before. I just think it's a higher acquisition at the moment, and they're building an arsenal of patents and staff to take on Apple.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And they've got a base in the Far East, haven't they? So they can attract more talent.
I know Apple are very rich at the moment, cash rich. I wouldn't have said that Apple are in. There's no real competition between the two.
Not at the moment. No, not at all.
The Pixel's a very good phone, particularly the little one. The bigger one's not so good, apparently, I've been hearing.
Yeah.
It's got a blue cast on the screen, but I hear the little one is really good, and the sound from it is tremendous. You know, the speakers on it.
Mm.
So you can see, well, they're on about the squeezable technology like they had on the HTC M8. Where you could actually squeeze it to, instead of pushing the screen to wake it up, you just give it a squeeze and up it pops,
Pixel 2, you call up the Google Assistant with squeezing.
So they've got it already then?
Yeah, they announced that last year.
Yeah, I think it should be good. I think because if Trump stays in power much longer, they're not going to be able to get the talent into the US. They're going to have somewhere else outside the US to develop for them.
Mm.
Wouldn't you thought? Because if you're not going to be able to get into the US on a visa, I can't remember what kind of visa it is, but now they won't have to. They can send them to Taipei.
Yeah.
So
Batwing says Drew's got a Pixel 2 and he does all the squeezing on all of that stuff as well. And it puts progs into place.
What?
He also puts progs into place.
What, you said frogs?
Frogs. Programs, I'm guessing, but I still don't understand.
Welsh. Oh, not porgs.
Yeah, so that's answered my question then, because I looked at that story initially and thought to myself, I'm sorry, but there's no way that HTC are only worth $1.1 billion, but they're only buying one area of the piece of manufacturing, nothing more.
Yeah, and they're getting access. Well, they are getting access to the rest of HTC, but other people can as well, so it's not exclusive to them. But I think it's protecting themselves against any future Trump's future problems with bringing people into the country, so they probably might move a lot of people out of the US.
I mean, Jeff, how effective is Trump's travel bans and import immigration bans? Because from what I perceive, there's been an awful lot of people going, look, you just can't do that. Don't be a twat. And they just, they still get in anyway.
Yeah, what I'm seeing is that there's a lot of people that are just scared now because they have no idea what's going to happen. And the issues that people are worried about coming into the country are affecting U.S. citizens just as much as anyone else. And yeah. So now you have U.S. citizens that are coming in the back in the country without any like real problems, but they're getting harassed in some cases, and they're like scared about what's going to happen when they try and come back in the country. So it's not an overly effective travel ban, but it is disruptive, and it's making a lot of people worried because they just don't know what's going to happen to them.
I mean, from what I understand it, is if you're a US firm and you need a person and you can fill in the criteria for why you need that person, there's nothing stopping you getting people in providing they pass a security check.
Right.
You know, if you say, I need this person, I need them to have work permits to work in this country, it's not hard to get people into work.
Yeah, it's not hard.
But isn't it going this way here, though, with Brexit, where everyone's going, well, we don't want the foreigners. I mean, literally, I've heard what a person on LBC today, I'll be glad when Brexit comes, I won't see so many foreigners in the streets.
You're ridiculous.
And that's horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. It was... It's one of those things we just go like, for God's sake, get that woman off the radio. But yeah. James spent 10 minutes basically ticking the mickey out of her.
Yeah, I can't. There's times I like James O'Brien, but there's other times I want to go, look, they're an idiot. Move on. You think they're an idiot. Everyone else knows they're an idiot. Why aren't you just moving on? Stop filling time with them because your switchboard's empty.
He likes his own voice too much sometimes. But still good. But he brings on an awful lot of people like that. But I can see... this country's going the same way as the US. I mean, there's so many people here that actually love Trump.
Sorry, I just want to clarify. What kind of activity is hiddling?
Did I say hiddling?
I mean, that might be a sexual...
I was just about to ask, too.
I mean, if this is a sexual thing that's Norwich-related, only related, then...
It's a mix between huddling and fiddling.
So he's put space is cold, hiddling up to Jeff, Mullet and Ewan for warmth.
I'm in the middle.
So if it's a cross between cuddling and fiddling, just making out, right?
No, back when she said hiddling is what she wants Tom Hiddleston to do to her.
What you don't want to be... Paulums is at the bottom of the pile with me and Ewan get on.
Hello, Tom. It's Mao. Get round here and give me some headling. Tidy.
Oh, God, this story's gone west.
It's Norfolk's way of quitching. What the hell's quitching?
No one can spell tonight.
That like belching.
You go for an answer on that.
Oh God, I'm not Googling it.
I'm totally.
I've worked out, you know, if you want to do a decent Welsh impression, all you've got to do is add the word tidy on the end of the sentence.
Only if it's
you can get away with it then, even if it's crap. Even if you sound like like you're from the Far East. Oh, that'll do. My story, right? You're going to like this. I think this is fantastic. And I just want Jeff, I'm going to keep Jeff on screen while I read out this title because I want to see his response as an American citizen, representative of his fellow countrymen. United Airlines is tightening its policy on emotional support animals.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I even know what you mean.
I do. I've seen this story before.
Me too.
So
this is about the people that say, I have to take my dog on the plane with me, and you can't stop me because I have a disability and it's my emotional support animal.
Yeah, that's right. But they're saying you need to offer proof. Don't know how you can do this. You need to offer proof that your emotional support animal can behave in a public setting. As in, does it know which knife and fork to use first?
Yeah, and it puts the napkin on its lap.
Exactly.
Didn't one airline have a couple of ducks?
So, okay, so the way I could imagine this working is that you take your emotional support animal to special training where you get certification that it is this thing, and then you have some recognized documentation for the animal, but there is no such place like that.
I can't believe we're actually discussing that it's okay to have an emotional support animal. If you got your dog goes in a cage and it goes in the hold if you want to take it with you. It doesn't come and sit on your lap, whether you bought it a sodding ticket or not. Sorry. When did we stop being logical and brutal about, look, it's a short flight. Put the dog down. Step away from the dog.
Yeah, but wasn't this week's story about
this happens on most every flight that I'm on anymore.
No.
There's always at least one pet on the plane that the owner says, this is my emotional support animal. You can't stop me from bringing it on. I have my rights. And in some cases, it may be a legit thing, but most of the situations I've encountered, both on planes and off planes, these are people's pets, and they just want to travel with it.
Yeah, they want a free seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if the dog poops?
Well, now you have dog shit on a plane.
which is the next stakes. Samuel L. Jackson film, which will be available at the early start of 2019.
Do they have to pay for the dry cleaning?
You get snakes on a plane, dog shit on a plane really fills me with more dread. It's a proper horror.
A bit like peanuts on a plane.
So sticking with the whole emotional support animals on a plane, I think it's United just a couple days ago told someone they could not bring a peacock on a flight.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
People were pissed off because the peacock was their emotional support animal, and I want to know how many flights they've actually been able to get the bird on before this
exactly.
one. Because what the actual hell taking a peacock on an airplane?
Is it a male one as well?
Well, that would be a peahen, wouldn't it? Because a peacock is a cockbird. So it's
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a peahen, yeah.
Because the peacocks are very fighty when they're confined.
Yeah. Look, I know it's an elephant in must, but I'll feel far happier if it's with me. Is that okay?
Can you imagine bringing an elephant on?
We can't get it through the door, sir. I'm sure you can try. Do you know what it is? There's a private club in America that all they do, and all these emotional, they're just taking the piss. They're just seeing how far they can push it. Who's got the most ridiculous animal onto a plane and got away with it? That's all it is. And there's a prize they give every year.
I absolutely believe you.
It's like an Eyes Wide Shut kind of private club, except instead of having an orgy, they sit and compare nutty animals that they've got on planes. That's what it is. It's like the weird animal dining club.
You know the little pigs that I've seen people...
Piglets.
Yeah, well, they're adults.
Oh, right, okay.
Is that still a piglet?
Pygmy pigs.
Yeah.
If there's a thing.
I've seen people with those and say, this is my emotional support animal. I was in a grocery store, and a guy had a big snake wrapped around him, and he said, this is my emotional support animal.
And Samuel L. Jackson made a film about it instead.
He did.
So, Paulins, you can't take your turkeys on.
I already beat you to that one, boy.
This do be my emotional support turkey.
So, no, the animals that I'm totally fine with going on the plane are like seeing eye dogs.
There's like the dogs that can sense epileptic fits, Not a problem.
Yes.
Not a problem.
I'd be totally fine
That's
with
like
that too.
Guide dog. I got no problem with the guide dog going on a plane with the owner without having to go into the hold. I got no issue with that. I got no problem with the ones, because that's proper medical reason. That's okay. But an emotional support dog, I just think, you know, America, wake up. Do you honestly believe how the rest of the world is viewing you at this point in time?
There's a reason why I'm spending so much time at my local bar. I walk in and my beer's just on the counter now.
That's it. So that's the next time that the emotional animal piss take group meet in New York and they have their eyes wide shut meeting. They're all going to be stood there and someone says, "You never believe what happened. What I took, you know, Sid that runs the bar. I took him on and said, this is my emotional support barman."
about an F1 track girl.
You've got an emotional podcast Miller there.
Yeah,
I'll take him everywhere with me.
I'll go in the hold.
I love the idea of taking my emotional support bartender with me everywhere I go.
This is my emotional support bartender. You have to let him come. Oh man, America. The world is watching. You don't need shit like this against your reputation. You sound like a bunch of frigging lunatics. I'm sure you are.
There's a reason why we sound like a bunch of lunatics.
No, because we've got lots of Americans who come on this network. We got Tom. He's sane. He's in the Slack room. But the rest of your country just comes out of this store and it's like, what are you on?
There's this completely misguided sense of self-entitlement coupled with a society that is just hell-bent on lawsuits. And so you put that together, and now you have emotional support animals and companies that are afraid to say, you can't bring your pet in here because they don't want to get sued.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Especially if it's a big pet, it'd be heavy petting them.
God.
I give up. It's just it's ridiculous, man. Absolutely ridiculous. Total bonkers. Bonkers, says Swamp Rat. My entire life. America, you are providing us with vast entertainment at the moment. Keep going. We love you dearly. Don't come over here. Unless you're one of the sane Americans, like the people that we have on the show, who have got a sense of at least some propriety and limitation on them.
So I can get a special pass to come over and visit.
Well, yeah, you're entitled, mate. It's not a problem at all.
Awesome.
No worries. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They look after us, and we are absolutely astounded at their kindness to us. Every show that we've ever made is on there, on the video shows, is on the server. You can watch it thanks to them picking up all the bandwidth and all of the size of the hosting and everything to do with it. So go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you want to gain access to your account, and /sponsors if you want to get all the offer codes, and you can clear your basket if you pick the right kind of stuff. We love them to bits, so please look after them. The Uniku trip is coming. I'm going up there in March now to get my eyes ready because they're just too busy selling the damn machines on. So all the machines are going into opticians. If you'd like to know more, if there's an optician near you that you can use, then it's podcast@hoya.co.uk, and Mark and the team up there will get the red carpet rolled out for you for the special BTN treatment. So do check it out. Right, it's time for the cool things. Jeff, start us off.
All right. So my cool thing, it's actually a web page.
Oh, okay.
But it's safe. It's totally safe. I swear to God.
Not safe for work.
It's totally safe. So here's the deal. There's this group called Botnik, and what they did was that they took this technology where you can feed in text, and then when you go to type, it uses that text as the basis for predictive suggestions for what it is that you may want to type next. So they've done this with a bunch of things, you know, like like song lyrics, so you can use this to create new songs. And they've done it with television shows. And so in this case, they fed in Star Trek The Next Generation scripts. And then they let the system create a script for a new episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. And it's absolutely awesome. It's so fantastically awesome that I'm hoping that at some point the cast from Next Generation will be at some event together and they will do a dramatic reading of this script.
Oh, excellent. So, space, what is the point of it? I have no idea, says Picard. This is the Enterprise, a big circle with a porch. I'm Captain Picard. Come with me.
It's awesome. So the other thing you can do that goes beyond just enjoying the script, they have a link to a web version of the engine that lets you do this. So then you could take whatever text you want and feed it in there, and it will use that as the basis for all of its predictive suggestions. So you could take, well, actually, if someone transcribed the Big Show and fed it in there, we could probably generate what looks like the actual show. There probably wouldn't be any different in our case.
Well, no, that's a good point, actually. In fact, actually, we're making some scripts for the future, which would be pretty awesome.
That would be fantastic.
There you go. So there's the thing. If anyone's got a voice to character to script recognition system that they can do this whole show and shove it into that Botnik stuff and find out what the predicted script for next week will be, holy shit, that's worth 20 quid of anyone's money. Your favourite charity.
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent pick, mate. Excellent pick. I might have a play with that. Muller, what have you got for us, pal?
I'm going to copy it. It's a podcast. The news about art. So it's a science podcast and it's done by that bloke off the telly, what's his name, Rick Edwards.
All right.
I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's tall and I think as a man I can say he's quite attractive without saying anything else.
Okay.
And a doctor, and basically they just
would you go to Mars with him?
Well, you know, if I was a woman, I would kick him out of bed.
Would you hold his hand?
I'd let him take a blast at my crater, I suppose.
Oh, he's...
anyway, changing the subject back to... they just take on different subjects. It's not as much fun as the last one I put in. It's a little bit more serious, this one. A bit more Monkey Cage, but without the laughs. But I think you quite enjoy that one. And if you look there, there's 49 back shows to watch. Catch up on. And the new series is due to start next month, I believe. So I recommend that. Free, so I'm not costing anyone any money.
Cool. Can't get over a podcast of series. Get over you.
Oh, it's still all right. It's good.
Just make podcasts, and if you're making, you make them. If you don't, you don't.
I enjoy it. I mean, it's quite in depth.
Yeah, that's cool. Righty boy, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, it's not so much tech, but it is on the internet now. Probably you're all going to look at me a bit blank, but has anyone heard about a film called The Room?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, then do. It's the best, worst film ever made. It was made about 14 years ago, and it's the worst acted, worst produced. Well, actually, it was written, produced, directed, everything by the same bloke, and it is so bad. But the best thing about it is the internet has just taken it to their hearts, and it's become a cult movie. And I've just become obsessed with it this week, and me and the wife had a viewing of it last night, and it's just so, so bad. But it's so good. It's almost got like that cult following of like Rocky Horror kind of film. Oh, yeah, Deep Pan knows. You're tearing me apart. And see, people just know it's just the worst film. But what people have done on YouTube, and actually that's one of the good things about YouTube, going back to my rant, is they can make some really creative things out of some really bad content. So if you don't know what The Room is, go and check it out. Just Google The Room, or on Wikipedia or on YouTube. It'll change your life. It's amazing.
Excellent.
I don't know the whole movie because I've never watched it sober.
Everyone, it's a lot of people know about The Room, though, don't they?
I think I saw it on Channel 4 once. 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, stay away from that then. Now, I've got an appeal before I do my cool thing. And this is quite a serious one because we, as you know, me and Anders have been working on a camera system together. I've been doing the physical hardware part of the builds and that kind of stuff. He's been doing all the techie bit behind the scenes on the back end of the stuff. And we've got the thing running really, really well. But the problem we've got is we need to run it with some Wi-Fi dongles, some a SIM dongles that just take a SIM and work. But the problem is we need driverless dongles. So we need driverless 4G dongles, ones that work without having to install any drivers on them and use browser-based stuff. We can't do that. And the only one that we found that actually works is the ZTE MF823. Okay? So ZTE MF823. Mm-hmm. Now, you can buy a few of these online, but they all come back locked to O2 or to 3 network or something like that, and it's difficult. You can't break the encryption on them dead easily. So I would like, if anyone has a ZTE MF823 dongle that they would like to sell to me, I will buy it from you at an exorbitant price because my camera system doesn't work without it. I need a total of 8 of them to get me up to be able to use 16 cameras by Easter, if that's possible. So please, 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 please spread the word around that if you can get a ZTE MF823 dongle off anyone who might have one, we will have it. Also, if there's anyone out there who knows of a driverless 4G dongle that we might be able to use, please send me the details because I am desperate to find out one that works. I've only got 9 of these things and I need 17. I want a spare one for Anders to Dev. So please, 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 keep your eyes peeled for those and get me them if you can. I've got a guy who's a pal who's in the telecoms business, and he's been trying to help me out with the data side of the Sentry cameras. But he's looked for these with people, and he's asked around. He says, those dongles, mate, they're rare as rocking or shit. So they are tough to get hold of. If anyone's got one, I would gladly purchase it from you. Please let me know.
What, is it the MF823?
MF823, but it's got to be properly unlocked.
They're on Amazon.
They're not on Amazon. They're locked. They
are unlocked.
They're not. Trust me, when they come through and we put the cards in and we plug them in, they don't work because they're locked. They keep saying they're unlocked and you can change the APN settings, but you can't. They don't work.
Oh.
We've gone down this path. Batwench has put a link in from AliExpress, which I'm just about to click and rather be quite excited about, I would hope. So there you go. But please, please, please keep an eye out for those if you've got them and can get them to me. My cool thing is something that I've been looking at on or just started on Netflix, and it's Black Mirror, and I adore Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. I've only watched the first 5 episodes, but it's some of the stories are incredible, and the fact that it started in 2011 just drives me mental. The prophetic quality that Charlie Brooker has got into this is unreal. He's so far ahead of his time with it.
It's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. If you haven't watched it, definitely go and watch it. It's not appropriate for children. There is some very dark topics to deal with there. But if you're into the tech, some of the tech stuff, I love the dating one. I thought that was a great episode where the couple date each other through the system. Absolutely excellent. I'm not going to give anything away. And I spoke to James Rickards about it a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Black Mirror, he said, if I got one wish in my life, probably it would be to unsee all of the episodes so I can watch them all again for the first time. Because I can imagine now, because there's all twists and stuff at the end.
There's probably an episode about doing that very thing.
Yeah, but if you get to the once you get to the end and watch your first episode, you realise that you'd never be able to watch it again and get any entertainment from it. They are just gripping, superb. Watch them if you can, because they're absolutely brilliant. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
How about over at macobserver.com and on Twitter? That would be Jay Gamet, and same thing on Instagram and on Gobs of Podcasts, including here, and Daily Observations. And if you're roaming around Boulder, maybe you can see me there too.
Thank you. Thank you. Batwinch just put the link in, but you see, they're all... Not so sure. Hang on, that's the wrong person. Where's he gone? Miller, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
I'm Miller Barker on Twitter. I'm also in the Slack room, and as usual, locked in his basement.
Yes, thanks, buddy. And Righty Boy, where are you?
I'll be turkey scrumping around Norfolk, mate. I've
been shot at.
and I'll be in the Slack room doing the reviews at BTN.
Excellent, mate. Thanks very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow us at British Tech. If you'd like to contribute, we've got a thing going. Have a listen to the Mac Show, because Greeny will be performing specially throughout the month of February with his ukulele. That was awesome today. We'll be back again next week on Friday. Batwinch will be here in the studio. These boys that have hired the studio will be back here again next week as well, probably. Probably, yeah, they'll be here. So there'll be plenty of pizza, there'll be plenty of beer, and plenty of fun. So if you want to come and join us, if not, come down. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.